Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's Deserted Island Dish. It's the show where we get people who are usually born in the island of Ireland and now living in South Yorkshire come and talk to us about their journey. And they play a few songs, and we pick songs, and we have a chat for a good old hour. But I am running out of Irish people. We've been doing a show nearly for 18 months, and we've had a few non-Irish people on. We've got some non-Irish giggles in the corner already. So my guest tonight has a very Irish name and has an Irish passport.
I do.
It's Niamh Kavanagh. Hello, Niamh. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Ben. How are you doing?
So you are you qualify more than many of the guests that I've had on.
Oh, really?
Over the last few months, in terms of, yes, having a name and an Irish passport.
So. Yeah. It took a while to get that. I had to almost fight for it and prove that my mother was my mother, which is really interesting.
Yeah, didn't they do that? I've not quite got around to it. I could get an Irish passport, but I've got to go through that process of getting me grandparents' birth certificates
and
things
like that. You need the birth certificates,
and all that kind of stuff. So my mum's done all the hard work. Oh. My mum's probably listening, so thanks, Mum. I'm just being lazy to do it, but... Anyway, it's not about me, it's about you, Niamh, this show. So, welcome. So, just to introduce Niamh, she's a fantastic singer. She's been in many bands over the years, and you can find her on Spotify in many bands. But recently, you've kind of made a big push to go out on your own under the name. So, it's Niamh Kavanagh and Niamh Vox, is it?
Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, it's people find you.
Yeah, so on Facebook it's Niamh Kavanagh Singer, and on Instagram it's Niamh_Vox, V-O-X. Yeah.
So when you're out gigging and things, it's Niamh Kavanagh.
I'm gigging?
Yeah.
Oh no, I travel under.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that, but people can see. Yeah, we're gonna do there. So that we'll spend some time towards the end talking about your current life and
okay.
How things are going there. But what we do is try and start at the beginning, Niamh, and what kind of your earliest memories and what life was like growing up for you. So and where you grew up and what. What year, all that kind of stuff?
So I was born in 76 and mum came over on the boat with £10 in her pocket, she said, and a baby in her belly and no licence for a telly. And she was given three choices. She could marry my dad, she could go to the Magdalens, which was literally up the road, I'm sure. You know, anyone with an Irish connection knows about that.
Yeah.
Or she could come here, and she knew she was coming here, really. She had sisters that were already, they'd already come over.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 70s, Ireland had no economy whatsoever, so...
Yeah, it was the best choice. So, it was... So the Magdalene is run by the nuns.
The laundries,
And there's been many kind of films about kind of the... Well, some of the horrors that happened in those places, weren't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Very unhappy women doing difficult things to women experiencing difficult situations. Yeah, they were just not nice places. So mum opted not to do it. She always said that she didn't like the idea of someone taking her child away, the idea of carrying a child and then having it taken away.
Yeah, fair enough.
So sometimes I wished for something different, but
okay.
You know, there you go. But no. So my mum gave me my love of music, really.
Yeah.
And my granddad, her dad, absolutely loved music, and he was quite a singer. So mum fell in love with like musicals. So she showed me like all the MGM musicals and stuff, you know. So and that for me was a wonderful escapism. So anything that I could get on VHS, if we couldn't see it on the telly, I knew how to work the tape recorder. So that's what I would watch.
What kind of musicals then? So the big show ones, is it?
Some of the MGMs, yeah, I liked. But I think ones that were quite personal to me was My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, so they're kind of English ones, aren't they?
Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we said it was Fulham, at London where you grew up.
That's right, yeah.
So your mum moved over to London. Were your her sisters were already in London?
Yeah. So her elder sister was living in sort of Hammersmith, Fulham, which is just like, it's just loads of Irish people there. And she came over. That's how Grandad found out that she was pregnant, actually, because to do with letters that she was sending to her sister. So, but yeah, I think I don't know why those ones I picked up on. It was just accessibility, I guess. I would obsessively watch them.
Yeah.
And I still
also
know
also some familiarity, I suppose, because those ones, some of them you were saying were like kind of set in London, weren't they?
And I think also the appeal for me was... it's Pygmalion, isn't it? It's like being remoulded and becoming something that imagination and being living a more desirable life.
That escapism, exactly. But I suppose it's for you as a child, you wouldn't really know what's going on for a long time. So you're kind of saying, "Oh, a lot of this now, that this is stuff that you've learned over the years, obviously." So when you were a child, it was just kind of normal, like any child.
No, I didn't have a normal childhood, really. No.
But what you understood as being kind of
My perception of normal.
Yeah,
I guess. But you find out quite quickly that it's not. You become very hyper aware of how adults behave around you. My mum wasn't necessarily quiet about the shame of being a unmarried mother, and I think that was something that I certainly felt and carried around with me, like I wasn't
from a young age.
Yeah, from a very young age. And I think that was again maybe why I kept those certain films about being in an unwanted, difficult situation and wishing your way out of it. You know, so for me, make believe was really, really important. I lived in my imagination a lot, and then once I got hold of film and music have. Been something I can escape into.
Yeah.
Well, no longer me.
Shall we escape a bit for now with your first music choice? What would you like to play?
I think let's go for Sammy Davis Jr., his version of The Candyman.
The Candyman and Sammy Davis Jr.
Because he mixes it with love.
Candyman. Sweet chocolate, chocolate malt, candy, gumdrops, anything you want. You've come to the right man because I'm the candy man. Who can take a sunrise? Sprinkle it with you. Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The candy man. Ooh, the candy man can. Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The Candyman.
The Candyman.
The Candyman can. The Candyman can, 'cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Candyman can.
The Candyman can.
The candy man can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good. Candyman.
The Candyman,
the Candyman can,
the Candyman can,
the Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good,
makes the world taste good.
Yes, the Candyman can, cause he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good,
makes the world taste good.
A Candyman, a Candyman, a Candyman
makes the world.
Yes, the Candyman, Sammy Davis Jr.'s version. Yeah, I've not heard that version. Lovely, that.
It's brilliant, isn't it? It's I like the campness of it. even though that film is really camp, I was thinking about getting Pure Imagination, and I just thought, well, maybe that's just a bit too abstract for the show. But yeah, Sammy Davis Jr. He's kind of overlooked, isn't he, in the Rat Pack situation?
I don't know. I think he's up there, isn't he? He's there for me. Anyway.
Someone actually turned around and said to me the other day, "Oh, I can't stand him. I can't stand it." I was like, "How can you not?
Yeah, well, it's
how
cool.
Can you not? How can you not like him?" I don't know. Anyway,
good choice. Anyway, but back to you then. We're going through childhood, and it was a difficult childhood.
Yeah.
Growing up in Fulham, and you were telling me earlier, really, that some of your connection to Ireland, really, was that your grandparents didn't really want you to go back to Limerick, which is where your mum was from.
Not initially. No, I think from my recollection, from what Mum said, it wasn't until her mum died. And then she was like, oh, you know, maybe Dad softened off a bit or something. But and then I was allowed over. But I don't really know how old I was when that happened. So when I was five, like, my mum was a bit of a naughty girl, and everyone got excited and thought that I might not be living with her anymore. So I was sent to Ireland.
Yeah.
And that was like my first experience of. And it was just complete culture shock.
Yeah, yeah.
My experience of growing up with Irish family is almost quite different to what a lot of other Irish or first generation Irish people, you know, here were experiencing. Like, so my friend Colette Clad, who I've not seen in I don't even know how long, I still remember her name. She would go to Irish dance classes, and they were really heavily involved with the church, and that was
Irish
not my life.
And things like that
that was not my life. I think because Mum talked about like being a single parent and how, and then she sent me to schools with nuns in, and that was, seeing what nuns would do to other children was quite terrifying. So that just shut me right down.
Yeah, yeah. Not you.
Oh no, I was good as gold.
Yeah, scared enough.
So, I was scared enough. Yeah, I was scared enough. Yeah, I watched a nun beat a young black male really badly. She broke a meter stick off him, and then she picked up another one, and I just thought, my God, you know.
Yeah.
And you just think about that even more as an adult with children. You're just like, but anyway, no, that was.
And you're younger than me, and it's so like in the 80s and stuff that had been happening. It's not that long ago, really, in terms of, you know, where we're at and
I mean, when you think about single parenting now, it's almost expected.
There's an element of
no one's like. Carrying shame, well, I don't know that they have.
Certainly not as much as, and definitely not in the Irish community.
Not in the way that I was treated. No, and you really felt that you knew that you were carrying that sin on behalf of your mother.
But when you were in Ireland, then you said it was your mum's sister. In Kildare,
that's right.
Not Limerick, where your mum was from.
Yeah,
so your sister was in Kildare.
It's very rural.
So, I was going to ask you about that. What was life like in those summers in Kildare?
It was very strange. It was very, it was very rural. But I loved it. We were just, we woke up, we weren't allowed out of our rooms until they were
when
up.
When you say we, who's we?
My cousins.
So the daughters of the...
Yeah, children. Yeah. My only other... Well, no, I do have only two other female cousins. All the rest are, well, from the Kavanagh side, all the rest are boys.
Yeah.
So it's six girls, one boy for my aunts and uncle, and they all reproduced, and they only had three girls between them.
Okay.
Which was brilliant, really, for us, as girls.
But it was it. So, so there was, you'd have your summers there with, and you had, were they similar age, your cousins, to?
Karina's, she's 6 months older than me, so she's just turned 50.
Yeah.
And, she was the sister I didn't have at the time. I've subsequently found other ones. it was like mud pies and make believe. And
was that pretty much every summer? From
in my memory, I like to think that it was every summer. I don't know if it always was because it was expensive, but I know that my mum, if she had the money, and her sisters would help get me back over there.
But your mum would stay in London.
Mum would always stay. She had no interest in going back, and I think it's only, I'd say, in the last 20 years. So mum'd be 69 this year. So.
Right.
I'd say it's in the last sort of 20 odd years that really she made herself go back because that's where Grandad lived. But she's got no interest in going back. You know?
Yeah, well, I was saying really that she's probably got that resentment to Anne at that point in her life, would you say?
I think it was. They went to what was considered a very good school at the time, and so they had ideas above their station.
Right.
And. Ireland wasn't going to facilitate that, you know. That, as I said, you know, in the 70s, we all know what was happening in Ireland by now, surely. Yeah. Or maybe you don't because you're English, but you know, it was an absolutely impoverished place. Like there was no money, there was nothing, and so people were coming. It was a colonised country. People were coming over in their droves, as everybody knows, to America or to Canada or Australia. God, we're talking about the Magdalens, right? When I found out about all of that, and I was thinking to myself, you mean to tell me I could have gone to Australia? But obviously it wasn't that simple.
No.
So I've lost my train of thought.
No, it's already. Okay. Well, it's probably time for another song. Time goes so quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So
what one shall we go on now? Okay, let's do Prince, because actually Prince was... I just loved him.
Yeah.
I loved him as a child. He was fascinating to me.
So, yeah, because your age is probably coming out when you were still quite young, wasn't it? Yeah, so, for you, so yeah, when you were...
I would have been about, 8, 9, 10, when he came out. And so Prince is my husband's, my current husband, is my current husband's favourite, most all-time favourite artist. And I have to say, really, same.
Good stuff. So we're doing Baby I'm a Star, which is...
by Prince.
We'll be right back.
Yes, Prince. Yeah. Again, one of his lesser known ones, you'd say?
I don't know, but you know, I just absolutely love that song. It just makes me want to dance and show off.
Yeah.
Which is like quite another side to my personality, I guess, because I'm not really a show. Well, I don't consider myself to be a show off.
Well, I've seen you
on
stage.
I'm quite an introverted person, really.
Yeah, is that? I mean, I suppose you say that a bit about artists, don't you? But I've seen you on stage and you seem quite showy off, eh?
Yes, very much so. It's like an out, but I liken it to an out of body experience. Some might call it out of my mind, but yeah, I really love it. And I think watching all the musicals and stuff, and then seeing people. You know, Prince was like part of this era where people really dressed up to do music. You know, nowadays I feel like, does nobody dress up anymore? Do you know what I mean? What's with the casual situation? So,
That make you a bit more kind of unique in the current world then as well. I mean, looking how you're doing, the glamour of you is...
You're very kind, Ben.
They all do. Well, you definitely... when I've seen you, you've got, long
dresses. Oh, I'm vain enough to do it. Yeah, you know, I love image. I love aesthetic. I love creating... just drawing people in, you know. Don't talk to me, but... No, I'm joking. Yeah. But, yeah, not really. But yeah, so costuming, I think, is what I sort of see it as. You know, you can put something on and become somebody else.
Yeah.
And that, for me...
gets you in that vibe. So, I'll just say, my guest tonight on Deserted Island, it's Niamh Kavanagh, who's a fantastic singer and performer. Had been in lots of bands over the years, and we'll get to talk about that. And now, kind of getting out there herself and still gigging. But you, I suppose when I seen you, you remind me of like something like... 1930s jazz clubs kind of image. Anyway, how you look, or like, I'm just trying to describe to the audience who can't see you what you're like, really. But it's very glamorous and you make the effort.
Thank you. I'm not really good with compliments. A while ago, someone said, you know, if someone gives you a compliment, you just say thank you. Say thank you, Ben.
Okay.
But yeah, for me, image is. It's certainly part of what I do on stage as well, and I think in my personal space and in my personal time, I don't look like this.
Yeah.
But I mean, I used to dress up a lot more, you know, when I started getting into doing the 50s
well,
let's stuff.
Get back to...
Let's go back.
Yeah. Well, just I suppose kind of saying back to how you got into music, or when did you first kind of recognize you had a voice, or what?
I think singing and dancing and performing is something that I just did. Like, I like mimicry. I'm really big on. I used to really like mimicry. Was
you
really
do impressions?
Important. No, I used to try and do them when I was a child. But it's when people laugh at you, because that's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
My brain would get a bit confused and think they were actually laughing at me.
Ah, okay.
But, you know, I'm not taking it personally anymore. But, yeah, so so mimicry was important. So I would sing like the musicals stuff like that. And that led on to... hearing when I heard jazz for the first time. So I'd heard all these like musicals, but then I heard jazz for the first time, or I heard Billie Holiday for the first time.
And when in your life would this be?
Have been like maybe 12, maybe a bit younger, I can't remember if my brother was born then or not, maybe he was, so I must have been 10, and my mum asked me to put this CD on. And it was Billie Holiday, and I'd never heard anything like it, apart from sort of maybe some of the more maudlin songs from musicals or whatever. But here was this woman who, the kind of emptiness of her, you know, as a heroin addict, I didn't know that then, but, you know, it... what is poignant is my mother was a heroin addict. She's 26 years clean and sober now. Yeah. Incredibly proud of her. Yeah. But, you know, then at the time, you know, yeah. she was a heroin addict. And I remember seeing Diana Ross, who I loved as a child,
yeah.
Play Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
And that really confused me as a young person. But there is, you know, but so I was fascinated with jazz really from that point on.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to access it, you know, and music's so accessible now.
Yeah.
Whereas before it wasn't, you know.
But were you singing in like any choirs at school or anything? Where was you getting that outlet to sing, just in the house? Or?
Just in the house. If someone asked me to sing, I wouldn't sing at all. So yeah. that's why I say I'm not a show off, because I'm not that kind yeah. of person. But I did try and act, and I did all right. You know, I did audition for Manchester Met. But anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, so I think I understand characterisation. And how to emote in a song and things like that.
But when did you get to that first kind of performance then that you did in front of people? I'm just trying
singing.
To get to,
you're trying to find out when I actually sang in front
or,
of people.
Or kind of what made you think I can do this, like in front of people or whatever.
It wasn't even about I can. It was like I want to. I need yeah. to. Like the yeah. the drive to perform in any capacity was. It was just, I can't tell you. I remember hearing Naylor's interview, and it was just, and any musician I think will tell you the same thing. The drive to do this, it's yeah. like nothing else. It's
yeah.
it's no, the greatest stim of all. You know, yeah. it's brilliant.
Yeah.
So pretending to be someone else is something. Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah.
Should we play? Well, I was thinking about playing one of your songs next that you do, so people can get to hear what you like. We've talked enough about Niamh.
Okay. Yeah. So we can talk. Do you want to talk about her first, or do you want to just play it and then we can talk about her after?
Well, which song? Yeah. So do you want to play
Blackjack?
Yeah, Blackjack. Yeah. So is you're on this? Yeah.
I'm Carmen Gear. You're yeah. This Carmen. Is from Carmen Gear and the Hot Rods. Yeah. yeah.
Okay, let's play it and then talk about it, yeah?
All right.
Yeah? Okay, so it's Blackjack by Carmen Gear and the Hot Rods. That's it.
Brian Day, who now plays with Brian. He runs a fantastic jazz night. Last Tuesday, first Tuesday of every month or something. Anyway, Brian Day, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And he produced this along with, I guess, Johnny Wood's assistants. But I think it drove them all mad, that blackjack, me screaming blackjack. But me and Mr. Wood found or heard that song randomly. And maybe he found it first and then played it to me. I don't know. But I was just like, we need to do this. And we based a whole thing around it. It was brilliant, but I was saying I just wanted
because the guests who've been listening on Deserted Island Disc tonight, so my guest Neve Kavanagh, we've been listening to her a good half hour without her and sing, and we thought about getting to sing a cappella in the studio because you'd always sing with a band really, and we thought it was a bit unfair.
I don't play any instruments, so
next time we'll get a full band in for you.
But we
wanted to hear you. So that's off Spotify and under the name Carmen Gia and the Hot Rod. So was there a story behind that name and band and stuff, or that alter ego, is it? Or
well, I guess I had to develop her. Yeah, she was... Johnny already had the concept of a band name, apparently. And for me, the whole thing was just like developing a whole aesthetic again, and really going into it and leaning into essentially one of my most favourite genres of music.
Yeah,
you know, time again, I will always go back to listening to jazz music or music that's from the 50s.
Yeah,
into the 70s. It is.
Yeah, that's great. So you built this whole character, and and you were really successful in that band. So you played Glastonbury
twice.
Yeah. So, what was that like? Yeah.
Oh, it was mad. It was mental. Yeah. The first, as Naylor said, the first time was absolutely amazing because the weather was just incredible. You know, you're parking at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and then this private van comes and takes you down, and it was great. It was the tent was rammed.
Yeah,
we sold all our CDs.
Amazing. Fantastic. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was about 10-12 years ago, wasn't it?
Was it like 2012?
I know John Naylor is a previous guest who was also there. And he did
he
tell
got
me.
Us the gig, yeah.
And
yeah.
He told me the year and I forgot already. So. Yeah, but it was about that time ago, wasn't it?
I think we'd already had an album out. We'd played down at Club 60 and...
Yeah.
Wow, it's just...
That's a good venue, isn't it?
It just, I think it was an amazing band. It was an amazing... I mean, they're doing other stuff now. They continue to go long after I left. But it was like 10 years of, or about that, of my life that I... utterly devoted my life 100% to. Yeah, it was incredible.
Good stuff. But you kind of moved on from that to join other bands and
after leaving the Hot Rods, I started a salon. I had two young children and I started a salon.
Fair enough.
Because, out of the frying pan. But actually, I wasn't very well at the time either. I left the Hot Rods because do you want an exclusive? I was waiting to be told that I had MS.
Oh.
And I don't have MS, but okay. I just have a neurological disorder that mimics certain disorders like that. So anyway, and I'm not going to die. So I decided to open up a salon. The doctors weren't so keen on it, and I was like, well, I've got to earn money. And by then I was in another relationship, and he said, you know, I was like, if I do this business, we weren't living together or anything, but he was like, you know, I'll help you look after the children, because really a lot childcare costs a lot of money when you're a single parent.
That's it. And, I mean, music, it's really difficult to make money in music to that level that you can, you know, live and have a house and all those kind of things, isn't it? So even with a successful band that played in Glastonbury, there was probably not enough coming in.
I think we got paid £250 to play at
Glastonbury. There you go.
We had free passes and food tickets. Yeah.
But even selling the CDs and stuff.
And we sold the CDs, that paid for the petrol. But so yeah, you know, it was a great opportunity.
But you needed that other income coming in to make sure to look after your children, really.
Absolutely. So and I was training to be a hairdresser at the same time. So it was an incredible time in my life. I loved every minute of it. It was difficult, you know. I had a divorce, and then I had another relationship, and that broke up, and and bringing up two small children, you know, and being in this band that was gaining a lot of traction. Maybe I would have liked more from it.
Yeah,
who doesn't? I don't know, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it, but I wasn't well, and I needed to stop and say, well, I went on to run a salon for 10 years, and I did really well.
Did well out of that, yeah.
But lately, what am I doing now? I just gave up my.
Yeah, let's
salon.
Go on to that. We've still got time.
We've got
that.
More time.
We're going to do present day. Let's play a song, and then we'll talk about what you're up to these days and how people can see and things like that. So, you've got. Do you know which one you want?
Let's do. I Only Have Eyes for You, which was the song that I danced to for my current husband's wedding.
Okay, let's do that one. What's he called?
It's called I Only Have Eyes For You.
What's he called, sorry?
What's he called? Oh, he's called Mr. Dainty.
Okay.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright.
Come on, come on.
Good to get you singing. I should have turned that mic up sooner to get Niamh singing along to the song. So I might do that next time without you knowing.
Okay.
But so it's Deserted Island Dis. We've not got long left, Niamh. So my guest tonight, Niamh Kavanagh's got an Irish passport, an Irish mum. So
and dad.
And dad, yes. You're in. All of that, that's it. So we're kind of getting up to you. Well, I know what we haven't worked out is kind of why you came to Sheffield. Why are you in Sheffield?
Oh,
is that? I've just jumped that on you. Is it?
Yeah, that's wow. I wasn't prepared.
You wasn't prepared. I was just thinking.
I was with someone.
Yeah.
It's my why most people, unless you're a student.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah. I came here with a partner from Brighton.
Yeah.
And he's not living here anymore, kind of.
Yeah.
But we moved up here because housing was more affordable. All his friends lived up here.
Okay.
He was a climber, and that's what we did.
And you saying before that you just, like, still love Sheffield. Yeah.
I love
and
it.
So you stuck around. And
yeah, yeah.
You saw it.
Absolutely. It's my home. It's
how long have you been here then?
I think I have been here 23 years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, similar time to me. I was, 2001, I moved here from London, actually.
Oh, did you?
But, it's a great place to be.
Where are you in London? Are you from?
It's not about me, sorry. Right. We'll do this afterwards. so you definitely staying around in Sheffield and you've got children yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old are they?
They're 21 and nearly 20.
Are they still in Sheffield?
They're at university.
Right, okay.
Living their best lives. One's in Croatia, one's probably in bed still.
Yeah.
The other one.
Yeah.
They're brilliant. I'm very proud of my babies.
Yeah.
They're a product of combined parenting and they're brilliant, they're thriving, which I'm really grateful for, and we all started university in the same year.
Okay.
Or did was she one finishing her A levels and the other one was starting? Yeah, maybe that's right.
Yeah, so we'll go on talk about that then. So it's a big change in your life.
It's a big change in my life. Yeah, gave up the business. I did my salon for 10 years. Got to work with some amazing women, became part of a hairdressing community in Sheffield. I don't know, tried to do everything I could with it, really.
Yeah.
Last year I was teaching in the Philippines.
Wow.
And then coming back from that, I decided to give up my business. I'd just done my first year in university and then I went and taught over there with an amazing...
teaching what
hair cutting. Hair cutting, and they were kids that had been brought up in care.
Yeah.
And they were going to, what's the bit in between? They're going to be care leavers.
Yeah.
So we were teaching them very, very much the fundamentals. So I did that, and then I came back, and I kind of realised a couple of things, and bizarrely found myself applying to go to university. I didn't really mean to do it. I made a phone call and then there was an interview and then someone said, oh, we'll give you a place.
Yeah,
I was
like,
well,
yeah.
Okay. So I did that, and it was it last year? Yeah, no, it was last year. So I've just finished my second year.
Yeah, and how are you finding it? How's it going?
It's hard. It's really hard.
I'm
going to Water Bear, which
that?
Is a... It only does music. That's
yeah,
all
okay.
It does. And it's originally they were founded in Brighton. It used to be, I think, known as BIM, and then something happened, and then they became Water Bear, or maybe it was the other way around. I don't know. But
so where do you go? Do you go in for?
It's literally down the road.
Oh, okay. So it's in Sheffield, is it?
Yeah. And the degree is awarded by Falmouth. But yeah. It's been the hardest thing that I've done. I'm not really good at sticking out education. I find education really difficult.
Yeah.
Writing.
So you have to do essays and.
No.
There's
but there is a lot of writing. You have to. I don't know what to call it.
Was it perform? Is it? You judge mostly on your performance.
Unfortunately, not.
No.
No, I have to write
the theory
about
and stuff,
my
yeah.
performance, and yeah. I have to. academically evaluate what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and you know, engage critical thinking and all that sort of shite. And it drives me mad. It drives me absolutely to despair.
Yeah.
But I love it.
You're doing it, yeah.
And I'm doing music, and I'm doing more music than I've ever done. I sing with a big band. The big band leader is now starting another band, a sort of working band.
Brilliant.
So that's quite exciting. We've already got 5 gigs and we're playing we're doing the Ashgate Hospice Sparkle Walk. We're doing that Cookie Dough Disco, are performing for the Sparkle Walk.
Okay, so that's the name of this band. So that's
Cookie Dough Disco, that's with Rob Skeet.
So is that sort of a band that's formed out of you?
Out of the Langset Dance Orchestra.
Which is
a big band that I sing for. I've been singing with them for maybe 10 years. We do. Oh my god, the best thing we do is we do an annual Christmas do.
Yeah, I think I've been, is that
at Crooks, and it's mental.
Oh, yeah.
And it sells out every year.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. Yeah, no, it's great. They're a great band, aren't they? The band leader there. I think I saw him standing in about 5 or 6 years ago. But yeah.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. No, that was mad. Yeah. So yeah, we've been doing that, and then I started just as I was starting uni. I've tried a couple of times to start a band, and I think I ask the people that are really, really good, and so they're really, really busy, and then it just doesn't work out. But now at the moment, I've got really, really good musicians, and we've been going for about 18 months now. The Brilliant. High Fives, and yeah, we're really enjoying it. We've got a gig this Sunday at the library venue,
the
Vancouver
nice.
Brunch. There were about 10 tickets, maybe less. Left.
Have a look. It's a great little venue in Articliffe, isn't it?
Yeah.
So is the Vancouver with
the High Fives.
Canadian. So, but what's the other students like? What are the people like on your course? And
oh, you know, it's an eclectic bunch actually. Yeah, you know. I only see singers, and then sometimes I see we're put into a band, and that's like that's really bonkers, because some of these people are just, they're fresh out of the box, man.
Yeah, there's going to be some younger ones.
Yeah, you know, when I was their age, my stage fright was awful. I had to lock my knees and be really rigid because I was shaking so much.
So that must be amazing for you to have that kind of just, like, I suppose, influx of new influences for you and people that you can bounce off and stuff.
It has been brilliant, but I have found it quite constricting.
Oh, yeah. Do you feel like you're kind of ahead of some people in terms of kind of your performance you've done before?
This is the first time that I've ever felt like I'm really good at something.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's good.
And not like at the expense of somebody else, no, but just like thinking about where I would be at 18, 19, 20.
But you've had so much more experience than those people.
Exactly, and that's the only reason why, and that's what I tell them.
Yeah.
And they go, oh my God, you're really good. I go, no, I'm just a lot older.
bit of both. We better get songs, and we've only got 10 minutes left now. Nine minutes left.
Back to back.
we'll see what we can squeeze in. But let's get Happy by Ella Fitzgerald. Is this just kind of obvious, I suppose, now after listening to you all the time, why you've picked this? Is it anything else you want to say why you've picked it?
I think this is another happy, happy song. I love Ella Fitzgerald. She is a goddess, a vocal goddess. Like, she is the queen of all. Everything just descends from her to me. She's incredible.
Let's have a listen.
A land where the weary fall. forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day.
Hey, get happy, brilliant. So it's Ella Fitzgerald and Niamh Kavanagh singing along there for the last few bars. Thanks, Niamh.
Thanks.
We should have been doing that all the way through. That works.
It's so, a bit like karaoke. Hey, that could be a new show.
Well, could do. Put it in. So we've got just 5 minutes left of our show. So, let's just focus on what you're up to these days then. So we've talked a bit about you doing your uni work, but you're... I can't keep up with... which bands you're in.
Yeah, neither can I, but yeah, I just turn up on the day that I'm supposed to be there. So I think I've just been putting a lot of energy into the High Fives for the last 18 months.
So that's a band just called the High Fives?
Neve and the High Fives, yeah.
That's right, so Neve and the High Fives, yeah. And so people can find you and see you doing gigs, mostly around Sheffield, isn't it? But you're saying you want to branch out. If anyone else wants to book you in... Manchester, we've got listeners
Leeds,
in
Manchester,
Australia, we've got a few listeners.
Yeah, I'd totally do that. Haversedge, Buxton, where else? Anywhere, Chesterfield.
Yeah. You'll do the lot.
Get me a gig, guys.
And who else do you sing with then? So you've mentioned a few already, haven't you?
I've done my list now.
You've done your list, okay, excellent. But
And I've got a gig on Saturday.
So you've got a gig on Saturday, a gig on Sunday.
That's done, yeah.
what we've not touched on or explained properly is that really it was a big jump from your kind of ending being doing the salon stuff, because it was a kind of a risk where you said, right, I want to focus now on music and do what I can singing-wise. I mean, that was a huge risk.
Massive. I think, I was lucky, not lucky, I worked really hard and built up a business, so I did my sums. Not so good at writing, but sums I'm not too bad at, and I worked out that if I did, I can earn enough money and maybe supplement the income with doing some music, so that's why I sing more dynamically, because if you're going to earn a living from making or doing music, you've got to do it with more than one person.
Okay. It's getting to the end of the time, but thank you so much. I know I don't feel like we've covered everything we could have done, but it's been great to get to know you.
You too.
And thanks for doing the show, and good luck for the future. And I'll definitely see you doing gigs. We've got your final song. So we've got I've Got the Music in Me by Thelma Houston.
Thelma Houston, yeah.
Any reason for picking it?
I mean, I think the title says it all. You know, and Kiki Dee is brilliant, but I love this version more. It's just a bit more attack in it, and I think that's the kind of singer I am.
You definitely are. All right. Thanks so much, and thanks for listening, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
Ain't got no troubles in my life, no foolish dreams to make me cry. I'm never frightened or worried. I know